Amateur Presentation.
Welcome back to another Untitled Movie Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Rohrbeck, alongside, he's allergic to tomatoes, but he is tomato meter approved, Eric Marchin.
Can I get a drum roll, please?
Bing! Yeah, today we are reviewing Osgood Perkins' The Monkey, starring Theo James,
Tatiana Maslany.
Elijah Wood is in there for a scene.
All your favorites are here.
Adam Scott's in there for a scene. Osgood Perkins is in there.
Uncle Chip.
Eric, how you doing?
Matt, we're talking about The Monkey. You know, this is something where I think we were both going into this rather excited, just in the sense that we both really liked Long Legs and were curious to see Osgood Perkins do a little bit of a riff on the Amblin film, specifically Gremlins, and playing with that in the Final Destination movies as well. And then watching the movie, you realize that for an idea that is, you know, inspired and adapted from a Stephen King short story from a book, Skeleton Crew, that maybe a short film would have been a better version than a feature length movie. Even though the film isn't that long, it's only about an hour and 25 minutes, it does feel as though the point could have been gotten to a lot sooner, maybe in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, we can jump right into it. I was also, like you, very excited because Long Legs made my, you know, top five, I think, or top 10. I forget what number it was at, but I absolutely loved Long Legs. So I was looking for, and I like Osgood Perkins. Like, I like his style. I think he has a good vibe, and I think he's a talented filmmaker. You know, this being so soon after, I know he's got another movie this year as well, right? He's been working, you know, hard and fast, just like Luca Guadagnino. But yeah, after seeing this, I have very mixed to negative feelings on it as a whole. I feel very similarly to the point where, you know, it starts strong. I think it's fun for the first, you know, maybe short film length of 20, 25 minutes. And then I feel like it just completely kind of overstays its welcome and becomes this kind of, no pun intended, kind of one note, beat the same drum over and over and over again, to the point where the kills aren't that creative. They end up not being that funny after the first couple. You know, it's playing in that Sam Raimi kind of splatter horror comedy kind of, you know, theming throughout the whole thing. And I feel like tonally, it undercuts a lot of what it's trying to say with, coping with the death of a family member and things like that throughout the whole movie. It never kind of earns this father-son kind of relationship throughout, and all of the kind of emotional beats kind of miss for me because it's all undercut by this kind of very over-the-top slapsticky humor, which can work. I just felt like throughout this entire thing, it felt very Looney Tunes in a bad way, where if you talk about, you know, Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner, but like an R-rated splatterfest version of that, like that could be fun. But when you see it executed, it ends up just being like, oh, this reminds me of Final Destination, but like Final Destination is one, funnier, and two, more creative, in my opinion, because you're focusing on the kills and how you can, you know, complete them in the most ridiculous way possible, where this feels like someone exploding over and over and over again to the point where, yeah, it's, I guess, shocking in its violence and things like that. But to me, just ends up feeling repetitive, and kind of you become sort of stoic or apathetic towards it by the end, which is a huge bummer because, again, I like Long Legs so much. I thought Long Legs was also very funny at times, but then also very intense. And I thought it had a, you know, surprising, interesting kind of story with its FBI, you know, procedural kind of element to it. And I just feel like something was missing here, where maybe if it was 30 minutes, a short, like a episode of an anthology series or something like that, I might have enjoyed it. But at an hour and 30 minutes, just kind of didn't quite work for me by the end of it.
Yeah, I felt similar in terms of even, you know, Osgood Perkins, like you look at Long Legs, it felt like there was more time taken in terms of building atmosphere and tension, and everything by design was controlled. And through that control, you felt as though there's an immaculate craft, where I'm not against this kind of being the opposite of that, where it does feel almost fast and loose and slapped together, as though, you know, you're going from one thing to another and you're trying to change it up, and that can be fun. But I think in that process, you lose what makes Osgood Perkins a compelling filmmaker, or at least one that intrigues you, is that he's very good at building atmosphere. And there's not a lot of that there, and that gets sacrificed through the haphazard quality of, you know, putting together something that does feel a little bit like, okay, we're having fun. You know, he's giving himself permission to have fun and, you know, to laugh at how messed up death is. And then also to explore themes of, you know, you mentioned the idea of losing a loved one, specifically a parent, and in Long Legs, you had that as well, where, you know, when a parent fails at their job, what are they left with and how do they, you know, go on? And the people that are affected by it, the children, and how they grow up, and if they grow up, and how are they corrupted by the outside world. This is basically doing the inverse of that, where it's taking the aspects of, okay, well, what does a parent, specifically a father, you know, pass down to their children, and what do they inherit from them, the worst parts of them, and, you know, what is the family legacy that you leave? And that's something as well that was even explored quite a bit in Wolfman, the Lee Whannell movie, where the idea of, you know, an estranged father, or someone that has, you know, mental health issues. And then you're worrying about, like, once you grow up, are you going to, you know, become your parent in that way? And like, that's part of the story. And to the point where, you know, Petey, the son in the movie, who's named after the grandfather, Osgood Perkins, was named after his grandfather, whose name was Osgood. And so things like that, you're noticing, like, I think Osgood Perkins is working through, you know, his own turmoil and trauma, whether it be, you know, his father and his mother in terms of their lives and what happened there, but also in terms of like how he's moving on and how he sees himself and what he's inherited from them. And all of those things are rich to explore and to add into something that is very much, you know, a very simple short story, but it just feels as though, like you're saying, it is one note, so to speak. And that beat is played again and again and again to the point where it's just beating you over the head with it. And that would be okay to kind of give it a pass if you were interested in the technical side of it, or, you know, the creativity that goes into a kill, or, you know, the messed up nature of how shocking something can be. But everything is telegraphed in a way that you can see coming a mile away. As you said, you know, it's mostly all explosions. It's not even really that creative with the, you know, the Goldberg sort of
Rube Goldberg kind of, you know, like what we see in Final Destination. There's a little bit of that here, but
not too much. And it just kind of feels like once we get to the third act, it just is like, okay, well, we have to, you know, throw this all out. And even the stuff with twins, you know, you have two actors in Theo James, who kind of is, I'm starting to actually really like him. Like, he did
great voice work
in X-Men 97. Here he's playing twins, but they're rarely on screen together. But then you have also Tatiana Maslany, who was in Orphan Black, and he was in Duel, which he has a bit role in the beginning of that, but also plays two versions. So even that, there's not a lot of room for cleverness in terms of playing with camera work and perspective and how things kind of, you know, are presented. And so when you're watching this, you're thinking to yourself, oh, well, this is, you know, I'm having to do more work and to give it the benefit of the doubt, even with like the canon of Stephen King. Yeah, is it better than Sleepwalkers or Graveyard Shift or, you know, any, or even, you know, Dreamcatcher? Is it better than any of those short stories or films that he, or scripts that he wrote, or pardon me, books that he wrote, like while he was in between other novels? Sure, it is. It's better than a lot of that, but that's not saying much. But I think it also says a lot to how, when it comes to Stephen King adaptations, it is difficult to adapt short stories into a feature, you know?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And when you, it feels like it's stretched out or that there isn't much else there. I guess if you, like you said, could admire even people who are like, you know, gore lovers and stuff like that. Like, again, it just looks like a lot of the times it's just like a pile of mush, or looks so silly.
It looks like
that
beans,
it
basically. Like yeah. Something like there's a bit, and it's in the trailer, and I won't spoil like connected to, but there's a bit where they open a body bag and it basically looks like, you know, rigatoni, yeah, or beans and sausages in a blanket.
I just don't think you can rely on shock value for the whole movie when it's so thin when it comes to some of those kind of emotional beats or plot beats or story beats and throughout the whole thing, where it's just very thin all around. And that, again, I don't want to, for lack of a better term, keep repeating myself, but I just feel like a short film would have been a way better approach.
Well, even the timing of it, right? Like the editing of the non sequiturs feel as though, you know, they're strangely
a kind of Family Guy sort of thing.
Yeah, so. Like they're off the mark by maybe 2 to 5 seconds each time. You know, that they don't hit the punchline, or when someone like bursts out reacting to something and says something that's out of character, that's supposed to be a joke. One, it doesn't feel true to who the character is, but the second thing is it doesn't really work as a comedy beat. And so when you're watching it, you just feel as though, well, what was the point of that?
Well, that's what I mean by like the cartoony element, you know, bring up Family Guy or Looney Tunes or something like that. But like no one acts, and it's fine in movies like this, where in a horror movie, a lot of people make very, you know, dumb decisions or don't act like what a real human being would. But with the amount of death in this movie, and it's played off in such a comical way,
Home Alone like, style almost.
Yeah, like you want there to be some sort of like, I don't know, it just doesn't, it feels otherworldly at a certain point, which also kind of disconnects me from, you know, what's kind of happening. To lean into the positive element, I don't have that much more to say about to be honest, like
there's not much there.
There isn't, and which is a bummer. But the design of the monkey is a lot of fun, and I will say, like, that's kind of carries you throughout the movie. Like every time you see it, and it's starting its kind of drum roll, and about to kill again. It is a really good visual, and how it's utilized throughout the movie in fun ways, I think, is probably the most positive thing I have to say about the movie. You know, some of like the lore of the monkey and how it works and how it transports and teleports and things like that, or how it goes away and comes back, doesn't totally make sense to me, but that doesn't matter. But I do really like the design of the monkey and how that's kind of executed.
And it is different from what Stephen King based it on as well, because like the story is based on the monkey's paw parable,
sure.
But then also the toy that he's referencing uses cymbals and not a drum.
Yeah,
so that's kind of curious as well, why they changed it from,
wasn't that in the Conjuring? Didn't they have a monkey with cymbals in the Conjuring, or one of them? What movie am I thinking of? Or
probably, but I'm also thinking, yeah, of Monkey Shines, because there was the George A. Romero, sure, movie that has the poster.
And
with
the Simpsons,
the
also did an episode of the monkey's paw. And
yeah,
like
exactly.
That, right?
And
back to the cartoon element.
We'll talk about George Romero as well. He adapted Stephen King's The Dark Half with Timothy Hutton, which was about twins, and one of which is, it's closer to Malignant than it is the monkey, but there is that feeling of like, oh, King also does have themes and ideas that he kind of goes back to or exploits over and over again. And this almost feels like, okay, this probably would pair well as a double bill, even though neither one is that memorable and has been forgotten over time. But yeah, the design of the monkey itself, like, I appreciate that it's both, you know, there is a presence to it that it does feel, you know, as though it is a supernatural entity, but it never goes into the territory of child's play. You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't become Chucky or something like that, where it starts talking or, you know,
it's just a device.
It is. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Which is, I'm glad that they went that route. And, but yeah, when it's hard to not compare it to Final Destination, and I know those movies aren't, you know, objectively good movies, but they're fun movies. And I think this movie wanted to be fun, and I feel like it just lost its fun very quickly and ended up being sort of tedious by the end of it.
Well, there's another part of it as well that I think, like, maybe there could have been more to it if they explored something that they mention in the movie. I don't want to give too much away, but the idea of knowing that no matter what you do or how many times you use it, it's never going to work in your favor. So why continue to use it if you eventually figure that out? And I think, like, that would be an interesting thing in terms of, like, is it an addiction? Is it just something where it's like, it's almost like gambling, where even though you know you're probably going to lose no matter what, you still do it. There's still a compulsion to wind the toy up and let it hit the drum and let it do something horrible, and that hopes maybe the person you wish ill will towards will be affected at some point, even if it is at random. And I almost wish, like, it focused more as, like, an addiction drama.
I agree.
Like that.
It just doesn't go into that. No. What you're saying is interesting, and it touches on all of that. But I feel like how, you know, without spoiling anything in the last act, how it all kind of plays out just feels like it doesn't feel earned at all. And I said this to you after, where it felt, I wanted it to either be shorter or longer. You know what I mean? Like, it either needed to be a short film that was just in and out, play into the humor, the splatter, gore, you know, silly, you know, Final Destination-esque kill or something, or it needed to kind of be like a half an hour longer and go to the full 2 hours. And if you wanted to go deeper into the familial relationships and kind of, or like you say, the addiction element and all of this kind of stuff, it just didn't have enough time to flesh any of that out. So it was in this weird middle ground where it's like neither long enough or short enough, and it just kind of happens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not a bad movie. Obviously, I like Oz Perkins as a filmmaker, and I'll be excited to what he does next. I just feel like it's one of those movies you don't necessarily, you know, I guess, like Companion, if you go in with, like, you know, like horror movies have a big audience on a Friday, Saturday night, and they're unsuspecting of some of the more violent elements, I feel like you could play on the reaction of a crowd, and I think that might help. But otherwise, I would also just say that this could be a streaming movie. Like, it, you could watch it if you're
the
really
streaming.
That interested. Yeah. So yeah, there you go. But like, I guess that's derogatory to him, but like, because he obviously hates that. But I just feel like that, again, if you're really interested, you could wait and watch this. And I'm curious to hear, you know, the people who really didn't like Long Legs, if this is more their vibe, and it's just, there's two sides of the Oz Perkins that you like. And I with the Pretty Little Thing That Lives in the House and Hansel and Gretel, or Gretel and Hansel, and
in February,
like that, the atmosphere that you're talking about, like this does feel like get a bunch of friends, shoot it over a weekend kind of thing. Like, even the special effects being very, like you said, like dumping a can of beans in a sleeping bag kind of thing. Like, it feels very,
which goes to the Soderbergh style of filmmaking, which is also another very prolific film. He's also another prolific filmmaker, and also has a film like I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House with Presents, where it basically felt like, oh, we shot this over a weekend, because scheduling, when making a movie, like, it's a miracle that a film gets made, because there are so many working parts that go against, you know, scheduling everything and putting things together. So this probably almost fell, you know, in Perkins's lap, like, right after Long Legs, and it's just like, okay, well, let's just, like, literally go
let's
and make
it,
this.
Yeah.
And And, you know, like, I really do actually like Tatiana Maslany as the same. Mom. And you know, there's a fun little reference to Goosebumps in there as well. And, you know, there's just something about it where, like, I think maybe if there was an emotional connection even to the father-son of Hal and Petey, like, you know, you care about what Hal is trying to do in terms of avoiding his son, like, sacrificing a relationship in order to protect his child or his, you know, his team.
Again, it just doesn't flesh any of that out.
No,
right?
It doesn't. Like, and then, yeah. And then you have like these weird, like one-off jokes about like, oh, I don't take a dump in, you know, motels and things like that. Or these dream
undercuts
sequences
a lot of it, yeah.
That feel like they want to evoke someone like David Lynch, but they don't really, you know, get to this part of it. But it also feels a little bit cheap looking at times as well. Some of the visual effects aren't that great throughout the movie. So there's a lot there where it does feel like, oh, this is a movie that's trying to have fun, but also it's trying too hard to make all of this work in a way that just doesn't come together. Like it's forced. Like the horror is one note. The humor is one note. And then the stuff where like you're looking at it from the perspective of like why maybe Osgood Perkins would want to direct something like this, and looking at it from specifically what his mother meant to him and the angle of feeling like, you know, when you lose someone that close, how that has an effect on you as like the absent parent moving forward. It just doesn't come together.
Death won't. Like basically the death can happen at any moment and it won't necessarily be pleasant in your sleep, right? Like some of that stuff is interesting again, but it just doesn't go into it enough. Yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag of a movie. If you're interested in it, it's not the worst time in the world, but like I wouldn't say necessarily rush out and go see it. It's I don't know. I just kind of came and went. I don't think I'll really think of it much after today. I think that's it. Thank you all for listening. I really do appreciate it. You can go check out more of our work over on untitledmoviepodcast.com and over on Letterboxd, which is Untitled_Movies. Please go check out Eric's other reviews and interviews over on rogerstv.com/cinemascene. We also have a Captain America Brave New World preview out that you guys can check out. We'll have a review for that film on Valentine's Day in the morning for you guys to listen to. A bunch of interviews Eric have done lately. Eric, plug your stuff.
Oh, yes. So I have interviews for Universal Language, Paying for It, Bring Them Down. There's stuff in the works. There always is. Matt has been very kind to upload everything onto the main site and YouTube. So it's always great to have conversations with creative people and people you admire. Specifically, that Universal Language interview is a lot of fun.
Yeah,
so.
It was a blast. Go listen to that. Please go follow us on all those social medias at Matt Rohrbeck or at EM6211. Or if you're on Blue Sky, it's at MattRohrbeck.com and at EricMarchin.BlueSky.whatever. Okay, until next time.
It seems like America has monkey fever between Better Man, The Flying Monkeys, and Wicked, and now The Monkey. What's next?
See everyone.